Welcome to the Not All Love and Light podcast. I'm your host, Romy Moreno, and today we have Michelle Richardson. She's a speaker, and she's a mom, and she's a wife. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So why don't you tell a little bit about yourself?
My name is Michelle. I'm a 55-year-old mom and wife. I have four sons. I grew up in Michigan in a very rigorous Christian household. It wasn't until I went through a whole bunch of trauma, family trauma and personal trauma, that I was able to exit the religion and then start really looking at what it is I actually believe for myself.
You and I met at an ayahuasca retreat, and we were in the same group, in the same, a room where we slept. And we were just, I was very drawn to you. And then I find out you're a Cancer with an Aries moon. And I'm like, I love Cancers. They're my favorite. And I'm an Aries moon. So for sure, we're keeping in touch.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. For and sure. I'm so glad that we did, because we've stayed in, this happened, this was almost 2 years ago, right?
Right.
And we've stayed in contact, and just learning about your story, I was like, I need to have her on the show, because I feel it's such a powerful story, where you came from, what you went through, and where you are now.
Thank you. Yeah, that retreat was a catalyst for me to be able to start dissecting all of this religion that it was really just heaped upon me from fourth grade. Before that, I remember us going to church, to like a Baptist church that was close to our house in Michigan. And it was nice, because I got to play with kids. You know, this is like second and third grade. And then in fourth grade, they had us move to a new city. And then all of a sudden, we were going to church two or three times a week. My mom started working for the church. My dad started working for the church. And all of a sudden, not just everything was different, but everything got very strange. Like, I was immediately aware of weird, creepy people around me. I never had to have intuition for my own safety reasons. But starting in fourth grade, that's where I started seeing a lot of patterns in people's behavior, specifically the principal, teachers, athletic directors and coaches. And I didn't really understand it to be inappropriate behavior, but I knew for me, it made me feel like physically ill to be near those people.
So you were about maybe 9 or 10 years old.
Yeah.
What was the behaviors that made you feel like something's not right?
Yeah. An example, one day in fourth grade, we had to wear dresses or skirts, the girls, and my skirt, the button on it in the back, had broke off. And I had stood up and was raising my hand, waiting for the room mom, who was my friend's mom, to come over and help me pin it. Our teacher at the time was a man, and he came over and was insistent that he be the one to do it. When he touched me, every fiber in my body just recoiled. That's one example. There's another example that one of my friends was the principal's daughter. You know, in fourth grade, you go to dinner parties on Sundays after church. So you go to their house, and me and her went into her room and we played, and she wanted to play these games. And I had never heard of these games, and it required touching and like pretending to be sleeping and all of this stuff. And finally I had asked her, I'm like, where did you learn how to play this game? And she told me her dad. And then her brother also. You know, as I got older, I started playing sports. Now, there was another dad. My mom worked for the church. And so on Wednesdays, school was half day so that we could go to church on Wednesday night and still get our homework done. But my mom was working, so she needed somebody to care for me. In that interim, she would take me to one of my friend's house. Her dad was always home. Her stepdad, I didn't know it was her stepdad at the time. And she had an older sister who was about 3 years older than we were. And we would be getting ready for church, and her sister would be just in a very lacy bra and panties set. and she would be curling her stepdad's hair for church. And I kept trying to tell my mom about all of these different things that were happening, going, I don't feel comfortable going over there. I tried to tell her the reasons, and she said, oh no, you must just be misunderstanding what's going on in all of those situations. And then I finally get to high school, and I'm playing sports. I start noticing all of this weird behavior from some of my teammates, the older ones, like 1 or 2 years older, in that they would just like disappear with coaches, you know, alone. And we'd go to camp. And I remember getting up in the middle of the night, had to go to the bathroom, and I caught one of my friends and our coach making out in the dark. And when I told, I got in trouble.
Of course.
And then, of course, it got back to my parents that I was a troublemaker. Yeah. And so that happened for years. And then when I was a senior in high school, our athletics director and the basketball coach, baseball coach, he coached pretty much everything. He got caught and the police got involved. There was like 50 women, you know, above 18. And then there was about half that many teenagers that he had been having sex with. He would have us babysit. I was not one of those. I did not end up having sex with him because I think my intuition, I would tell my stepdad almost everything that I saw. Now, most of it, they just ignored. But there is something he heard that I had told my stepdad. And he came to me and he said to me, he says, you tell your parents too much. You're too close to your parents. And so he never touched me again. He would do weird things, like after we'd babysit, he'd drive us home and then he'd kiss you goodnight. Now, for me, the first time it happened, I didn't really think a lot of it. It was like kissing my uncle or anything. But then the next time it was holding me, you know, putting his arms around you and holding you close. It just got super uncomfortable and weird. But then after that, you know, I told my parents and they never asked me to babysit again. In high school, it all blew up and they tried to send him to Texas to another church over there. He ended up having to come back. And I remember sitting in church and he was up there crying and begging forgiveness, telling some of the things, and it wasn't even scratching the surface of what actually happened. I had to finish my senior year and then I left. And I told my mom that I don't feel like they should associate with them. You know, it's not okay. Now, during this whole time, my mom has always blamed the girls. It was their fault they were wearing short shorts. It was their fault that they didn't scream. It was their fault they
blah, blah, blah. Victim blaming.
Later on, now I know that my mom had her own sexual trauma from a very early age of 3. And that's, she had always taken the responsibility for anything that had happened. You know, as she grew up, it was always on her. So she blamed them. And so I remember I got married when I was 18 because I couldn't take it anymore being in the house. We went on our honeymoon. We came back and my parents were on vacation. But my mom said, you can go do your laundry at the house. So I went over to the house, walk in, and there is the coach sitting on the couch with my dog sitting next to him. And I'm like, what are you doing here? Oh, your parents are having me house sit. He proceeded to try to get me to sit down and have this conversation where he was the victim. And I stood up and I said, there is no way you are ever convincing me that you are the victim in any of these situations. And I don't know why my parents are letting you in this house. And then I left. And I didn't talk to my parents for like 6 months then. About 8 years later, that pastor also had a younger son who was just a little bit older than I was. He's now the youth pastor. My mom calls me and says, can you meet me for lunch? And I said, okay. In the meantime, I'm not going to church. I'm not taking my kids to church. My parents are calling, going, I don't want your kids going to hell because you have a problem with authority. And that's what they thought it was.
Or fear mongering.
Yeah. And I said, well, if your God is sending my innocent children to hell, then I don't want anything to do with your God to begin with. When we went out to lunch, she started to cry. And I said, oh my God, it happened again, didn't it? And she just like unloaded all of the stuff that, yes, now the younger son who is the youth pastor. So at this point, I was 26. He would have been 27. yeah, he was having all of these young girls do these sexual favors for him under the guise that they were actually helping God by, you know, giving blowjobs and hand jobs and having full-on intercourse at, you know, 13 to 17 while he's married. It was just a lot. And I told my mom, I said, in all these years, you blamed the girls. And she's like, I don't know what to say. And I'm like, you have to leave. You cannot stay.
Was it like a community or it was a church that you gave? Because this sounds very much like a cult, yeah, that I've seen like documentaries on. And so I'm just trying to figure out if it's those type of cults where you all live together and.
No, it wasn't that. It wasn't like, you know, like the Mormons do or anything, but we did use the same curriculum. I didn't know this until I watched the Hillsong documentary. That was our curriculum in school. And those were the events that they would take us to, were these Hillsong events. Once I saw that, I was just like even more horrified. Like I jokingly called our church a cult. Like, and that would, it was mostly just to irritate my parents, I think, when I would say that. But then I realized it actually was a cult and how easily people like my parents were just, you know, they would give you so much. They would love bomb you to get you to agree to whatever it is. It didn't matter.
Yep.
And you would never, ever say no. You wouldn't even think of saying, you wouldn't even think of questioning, like, all other religions are bad. It's only our church that's right. And I kept asking them, like, how is that possible? There are billions of people on the planet. How can we be the only ones who are correct? Like, that didn't make sense to me.
Exactly.
So finally, my parents did leave the church. They didn't leave religion. And as they have found out that, you know, you just change venues, but the curriculum is still the same. It was happening every church they ever went to. But my stepdad, he likes to be the center of attention. So the way they controlled him was letting him be in control of things. And then just last year, I had looked up something to do with the first church that we went to, that I went to school with, my parents worked at. All of a sudden, there was this legal document, and it had my stepdad's name on it, that he was being sued for millions of dollars because they actually knew they had taken insurance against things like sexual harassment. Like, they specifically went and got a policy to cover them for this, and they lied all over the intake forms, and they all knew that it was a lie. So they were being sued. And my dad was one of the ones that was being sued. They never mentioned any of that ever. And when I had asked them 20 years ago when this was happening, or about that time, they both claimed ignorant, that they didn't know anything that was going on. That was literally the last conversation I had with them when I confronted them. And then they refused to talk about it, refused to acknowledge it. You don't know what we went through. I said, you know, all of my friends growing up, like, I'm on my fourth marriage. I don't know. Well, there's one girl who's been married one time and she's still married, but all of us have had horrible relationship problems. And, you know, we're super critical about ourselves, you know, and that's how they want you to be. They want us to be weak. They want us to see ourselves as weak and ugly and pitiful. We're only beautiful if a man tells us that we're beautiful. And it really, you know, to them, it didn't matter what man it was. And those are the only people that you believe are men. My whole life was spent knowing that that was wrong. Like, I knew that men shouldn't be listened to specifically or only, never understanding that all I needed to do was just trust myself. And that literally took until 2 years ago. You know, when we did ayahuasca, that weekend was all about really opening the door for me to even like myself, because the one time that I did throw up was the self-hatred. It was hours and hours and hours of, I was having visitations from my grandmothers and all of these really important ladies, even ladies in that church, who gave me all this nurturing when I needed it, because my mom wasn't a nurturer. You know, the first female that ever told me was beautiful was my pastor's secretary, or I'm sorry, not his secretary, his wife. And when I went home and told my mom that, she was angry. And she was so bitter. She made me cut my hair off. Now, I was never allowed to shave my legs or wear makeup. She was very jealous of my height and my voice. I used to sing. There was a lot of jealousy there. I didn't recognize it at the time. I just thought there was something wrong with me. And I think a lot of girls who grow up in organized religion have a lot of self-hatred issues that really stem from being told as a very young girl that, you know, you're unworthy. It's only Jesus that can save you, or, you know, this man who's talking to you about Jesus, he can save you.
Which is crazy to me, because with all the billion peoples in the world, we can't just have one belief system.
Yeah.
Right. And when we say organized religion, we don't just mean Christianity.
No.
This could be organized in any type of religion, anything.
Correct.
Even if it's not a religion, if it's a group. If somebody's love bombing you, and the minute they're meeting you, they're like, oh my God, I love you, and yeah, great, and yes, and da, 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 and being overly, it's nauseating how loving they are.
That's red flags all over the place. Red flags.
That's a huge red flag, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if you are not used to receiving that type of love, you could be like, maybe this is what I need, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the gaslighting that comes with it, and the continued love bombing, and then the whole, everything else is bad. This is the only thing, right? Because you had your experience with the Christianity church. I went to Christian church when I was a teenager, when we moved to Florida from New York. And my experience was great. I loved everybody that I connected with. My best friend that actually edits this podcast, I met him through there. Hey, it's me, Romy. I want to share a moment with you. You know, we often talk about healing, growth, and doing the work on this podcast, but where do you start? When you're feeling overwhelmed by life's challenges, trapped in the past, worried about the future, or like you're constantly battling your own thoughts and emotions, living in a reactive state versus response, passing up opportunities because of lack of confidence and fear, not knowing how to set boundaries with others, but most importantly with yourself. That's why I created my Healing the Root Cause program. It's for those out there feeling overwhelmed and yearning for change, connection, authenticity. Pretty much, you're tired of your own shit. Together, using my proven root framework, we'll recognize your triggers, overcome the past, operate with confidence, and transform your life. As I say, it's not all love and light, and this healing journey is about confronting the shadows and embracing the mess, but still loving yourself through it all. I'll be right there with you, guiding you on this journey, every raw moment, every breakthrough, every step of the way. So if you're feeling that tug and want to apply to work with me, fill out the application in the show notes, and we'll see if we're a good fit for each other and take it from there. Either way, I'm rooting for you. But it wasn't the message of gay people are bad, or homosexuality is demonic, and crystals are this, and, you know, and meditation is, you know, yoga is like all of that, you know, like
right,
trying to condition people that everything else is bad. You need to come this way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm so sorry, people that say that yoga is demonic. Yoga is literally what saves me from probably committing suicide myself, like my dad did. Right. Because that's how my healing journey started, because I was a hot fucking mess. So as much as I'm not a yoga instructor anymore, unless it's at my retreats or a workshop, I am so grateful for that practice, because that is how my healing happened. Not all the years that I was going to doctors, not anything else. That was my gateway. Not that there's any, no other ways, but that was my gateway.
Right.
So how are you going to sit there and tell me that this is bad when I know what it's done for me?
So here's the thing about organized religion. And again, this includes any and all organized religions. They are, I feel, the most dangerous thing on the planet. But the reason that they were started to begin with was, you know, there was spiritual before. But when organized religion came in, it was created by those in power, those who were wealthy, to create, to control the masses. And their weapons of control are shame, guilt, and fear. They have created a villain, Satan. They have created a horrible place that you never ever want to be caught in, hell. And they've made this beautiful idea of heaven. The problem is that, you know, Satan was created so that you never have to take responsibility for your own terrible decisions, and that they could just blame, has, you know, he's a scapegoat. It's a scapegoat. They never have to take responsibility for themselves. The shame comes from, you know, you have to deny your body, deny everything that genetically comes natural to you. I mean, I can't even, can we talk about masturbation on here?
Because yeah, you can talk about whatever you want.
Because I remember, you know, we didn't have the sex talk, obviously. There, to this day, we have not had the sex talk, and I'm 55. But
I didn't either.
It just, and my mom's thing was, you know, and she accidentally got pregnant with me. I would have thought that would have made her want to at least give me the education of it all so it doesn't happen to me. But that's not what she chose. The shame of these urges that your body has, which is completely normal and natural. And then if you do anything about them, the guilt on that, you know, you have to repent for everything that's completely normal and natural. That is what really screws us up as teenagers. And even, you know, younger, like if you were molested or, God forbid, raped as a younger child, you bore the brunt of that. It wasn't the rapist or the pedophile. It was you. What did you do to make that person behave that way? And so organized religion has started wars. Everything horrible that's happened on this planet, you can trace it back to organized religion. Even the political campaigns of these people, they use Jesus as a marketing tool. It's the most ridiculous. Like, I can just see Jesus, you know, just.
Yes, I say that all the time. Like, I have goosebumps now that you're talking about it, because this is something that has been coming up for me lately. I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
I think he was obviously a real figure,
right?
And he's a spirit guide, and he guides us,
right?
And he protects us. And look, I have goosebumps just talking about it.
Yeah.
And I could guarantee you that half of the shit that people are fucking using his name for.
Oh no.
I can't wait till he comes back, because I hope that it's while I'm here, because I need
his, he's going to have some notes.
Yeah. It's going to be too much. He's going to, no, I can't. It's too much.
What drives me crazy is, like, the one time he showed anger in the Bible, they say, you know, is when he went into the temple and he flipped the tables and he said, "You will not do this in my Father's house." Yet all of these televangelists, like, I don't know if you've ever seen, I can't think of his name right now, big TV evangelist at the beginning of the pandemic. And, you know, they told everybody they can't go to church anymore. And he was screaming at people that you better send in your tithes or you will go to hell. Like, it was this huge, I mean, if that didn't like show true colors of what's going on here, I don't know how everybody ignored that. I don't understand. They went back and kept giving and giving and giving. They don't care.
You know, people that are brainwashed and have been gaslighted and love bombed and manipulated. And a lot of the times this is all they know, and they don't have that connection with their intuition. They don't know any better. This is the way.
They've been told that intuition is
demonic.
Exactly. I know.
Unless you're a prophet.
Right. Well, and then that's, you know, on a touch and go basis too. Because I remember, you know, if you were a female who stood up and spoke in tongues, that wasn't okay. But any man, the pedophile, they could stand up and they could say it. That was fine. And but yeah, that's another thing. Pedophiles, they hide in religion. Obviously, look at the Catholic Church and the church that I grew up in. Organizations like Boy Scouts of America, that's another documentary. If you have boys, you're going to want to watch that. Hillsong documentary. We can just go on and on and on. Joyce Meyer came to Zion. Like, this is how big the church was. Do you know who Joyce Meyer is? She's a huge televangelist. She travels all over the world. She's a horrible human being, though. I can tell you that. I've met her a couple times. And Emmanuel Canastracy, Benny Hinn, all of these people had come to our church. Benny Hinn actually prayed over me when I had a broken arm and made my parents take me to the hospital, because he said, when you get there, you make them take that cast off because the pins that were in her arm are just now laying in that cast. Well, all of that was not true, you know. And
did they take you?
Oh, they did. They did. They took me right then. And then I asked them, I'm like, so what does that mean? Well, he just must have been a mistake. Must have been a mistake.
That was the devil that was making it seem like he wanted to trick us.
Yes. And that's another thing, you know, we don't have to question our religion because we've been programmed to believe that anything outside of it is all the devil's work. So they won't even go look elsewhere because they've been, you know, just beaten into their brains that everything else is evil. Like you said, I got a huge kick out of this year when they released the yoga Barbie and all of the Christians were like losing their minds. They have no idea what they're talking about. The other thing is witches. What are witches? Well, I mean, if you go with the Disney version, it's, you know, these evil Satan's brides who eat children. And none of that is true. Oh. They literally were so successful at convincing that whole era, like in the 1600s, that witches were this evil thing. These are women that you've known your whole life. You spent every day with them in your village or wherever it is that you lived. You know them, but they were still able to make you so afraid of Satan and hell that you were not just okay with them being put to death, but you were cheering it on. Like, it's so crazy because the actual definition of what a witch really was, it was a healer, a medicine woman, a doula, a midwife, a wise old woman, any women who couldn't be controlled.
Any woman that used her voice or stood up, that was a threat.
Yep. And that is where all of that came from. And that's been like my message, you know, I identify as a witch. I think I'm wise. I'm 55 years old. I've learned a lot of stuff, albeit most of it in the last few years. We all have this magic in us, and what they have done such an excellent job at through the patriarchy, which is also part of organized religion, is making us believe that we're nothing, that we have nothing. And to convince us even more so, they've made all other women our competition. Mm-hmm. So anything I have, there's that whisper, oh, all of these other women, they want that. So you can't, don't be friends with them. You have to, you know, everybody is seen, all other women are seen as competition, because and the whole purpose is that if we ever drop all of that and come together in a real community, I can't even imagine, like, if I want to say magic, but it's
so much more than that,
because they know how powerful we are. And they know how powerful we would be if we come together. And so that is my goal, to get us there. I don't know that I'll ever be able to, that we'll ever see organized religion completely dismantled.
No, it always has to exist because people need to feel like they're a part of something.
But there are other things that we can be a part of, like this, you know, this sisterhood that we've developed. And then our worlds, you start recognizing your soul family, and those people become part of your sisterhood, and those people you have a lot in common with now, and you can actually have these kinds of conversations. I don't know about you, but for the last 3 years, I cannot do like small talk. It's like painful. It's like getting your legs waxed. I just can't do those conversations that are empty and just full of, you know, where did you buy that dress? And I want to know about your childhood traumas and how you were raised, and what are you doing to get out of it? And if you've heard of somatic movement and all of these healing modalities that, of course, religion has deemed evil because they want to keep us broken so that we are indebted to them. The only healing can come from that, well, their version of Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. And their version of family is so warped. That's what I want to get women to, even if they don't end up leaving, if we can just reach a few women to make them start questioning themselves. Nobody has to believe me, but now you've heard it. Now go look for yourself. Go do your own research. Go on your own journey of self-discovery. and learning about yourself and where all of this comes from. Like, I was told I was an emotional, over emotional, too sensitive, and in a condemning way, my whole life. Like, why do you care so much? You don't even know those people. You know, I've heard that a million times. Now, after reading my chart, like, that's just who I am. That's who I am to my core, and I don't have to fight it anymore. And that is freedom. That right there is extremely important. I would like to make that point. Getting to know who you really are and who you were designed to be has been probably the most beneficial thing for my journey. I cannot tell you the amount of energy I have wasted fighting every natural instinct I have just to fit in to how everybody else looks. Like, I have a funny story. So my husband and all of our friends are engineers, like all of them. I didn't go to college. And I am a Cancer, and I'm an emotional moon, you know, drawn person. And I am always about the love first. And then we can analyze, once we get past that. I'm an energy reader. I can tell who is somebody I want to get to know just walking through a crowd. Like, I can lock eyes with somebody and I'm like, beeline right over to that person. I don't know who they are. And they're looking at me like, what are you doing? But not fighting my natural God-given or universe-given or source-given or whatever you want to call it, personality. And, you know, I mean, I looked at it as defects before, and now I look at it as superpower. That's something that's really been helpful for me. But, you know, going out and doing your own research and seeing where every Bible story has been ripped off from cultures and religions that are thousands of years older than Christianity. But they don't know that. I didn't know that. My parents don't know that, because they've never even thought of questioning or looking elsewhere, because they've been so programmed that everything else is evil. I don't know. I think that doing your own research, once you hear, like, it's one thing when you're ignorant, but then once somebody has brought it to your attention, now what are you going to do with it?
No, sometimes I'm just like, man, when I was asleep and I didn't know, life was so much easier. Yes. Now that I know these things, I can't unsee anything. It's so, yeah, once you see and once you're aware of certain things, you just see it. And I want to add to what you're saying of getting to know yourself, because also healing and getting to know yourself in this process, listen to your intuition. If something doesn't feel right, don't just let the logic come in and just think, no, that's just, why do I think these things? Why am I like this? No, there is a reason why something does not feel right, regardless of how shiny and pretty and loving and happy it looks.
Oh, yes.
And I can tell you that from experience that, you know, for a long time, I would just dismiss my intuition because I would think, well, maybe this is what I always say. When it comes to other people in my work with my intuition, I could tell them this is going to happen. You know, like right before we got on the call, I'm telling you things and you're like, yes, right? But when it comes to myself, I'm like, is this intuition or is this trauma?
Yeah.
Right? But I've gotten a lot better. Yeah. But I'm getting a lot better because it still creeps up where I'm now I'm able to analyze the situation and sit with it and know, is this something coming from a different place or is this really my intuition when it comes to me? But sometimes I feel like there's certain lessons that need to be learned.
Right.
And that's why we have those moments where we don't know for certain. Oh. But the more you heal, the more your intuition increases. And intuition is literally, that's your guiding source.
Agreed. And it's like a muscle. The more you trust it, the bigger it becomes. And then it just gets, sometimes it's a little scary. Like if I take an edible and I go out into a social situation, my intuition is like I could literally feel the eye opening And it's kind of crazy. And there's been some times where even all of our friends are like, holy cow, you are on a roll tonight. Like, just perfect strangers will walk up to me and like unload their life story. And I can just, I don't really understand how I know the things that I end up knowing. I have claircognizance. Mm-hmm. Is that what I say? Yeah. And as long as I can trust that, and I think the edible helps me like not to get rid of my ego. My ego just takes a backseat at that point, and I can just speak clearly from my intuition. Those are the most wonderful. It's when I feel most alive. I told my husband, I'm like, how do I make this into a career? Because I can feel this is what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how to get from here to there. I've been talking to you about the imposter syndrome. Like, there's nothing on paper that says I know anything. There's nothing that says to trust me. I only have my experience and my instinct. And
you have what you've been through. You have also your experience. And I could tell you that doing the work and having the experience is a lot better than any piece of paper. And I have this conversation all the time with my therapist, because she is a very spiritual person. She is a therapist, and she tells me there's so many therapists that are out here that don't do the work themselves. They just went to school and they got a degree and they're like, this is what I'm doing. So they give the person homework every single week and they're going by a book because they don't really understand. They don't really know. And the same thing with healers. There's people that just wake up one day and they're like, oh, this sounds cool, I want to do it. Right. But they're not naturally born to do these things. And their intentions are not in alignment with what the work is.
Right.
They think there's like all this money and all of this stuff instead of the intention of showing love and helping people evolve and not making people codependent on you and controlling people and trying to have this godlike syndrome where you are like this person where everybody has to come to you because you have all the answers. Like, it's ridiculous, the things that I've seen. None of that, because all of that could come with a piece of paper. None of that qualifies you. Qualifies you is the experience. And honestly, this is what I tell everybody and I tell all my clients. You could only help people as far as you have gone yourself. You could teach somebody how to ride a bike. You don't need a certificate, a certified bike rider, to teach somebody how to ride a fucking bike, right? But somebody that reads an instruction and has never ridden a fucking bike cannot teach somebody how to ride a bike.
Exactly.
They haven't gone through this. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how it feels. And when you put the emotion and the action together, that's where you remember and you get those memories and you know how to do things. So I am here to tell you that don't even worry about any of that shit when it comes to like degrees and like certificates or any of that, because that's just the programming of what people want you to do.
Right.
If you were meant to do something, there's nobody that could stop you other than yourself. And I looked at your chart before we got on the call. Like,
thank you.
I already told you what the path is. Yeah. You know what I mean? And,
you know, I wanted to hit another point. When I said patriarchy is a side effect from organized religion. I think now, you know, that we've had the Me Too movement and there's still a lot of ripple effect from that going on, and women are not, you know, gonna just be quiet anymore. And there's, oh God, there's so much good music out there. I have playlists that I playlist for everything. I have a healing playlist, a magic playlist. I have a gym playlist, but there's this theme of these really strong women who are taking control of the situation and making it known so that the next person knows they don't have to be quiet. And I know men, here's the thing with men. I love men, but I'm very disappointed in them. I feel like it's like your kid, you know, if they're misbehaving and they're getting bad grades, you don't hate them. You love them. You're disappointed in their behavior. And I think that men have been running, you know, the world for long enough, and it's time that women get to do it. And I know that one of their thoughts is that a patriarchy in a matriarchy are just the same, but women are in charge instead of men. But that's not how it would be, because women don't do things like men. Women don't think like men. We don't react like men. So sometimes I have these weird visuals in meditation, and it's more of a, I don't know, it's like a graduated levels, but it's groups of women, and that's how we lead. And we all lead with love first, and in politics, everything, like all over the world, not just in America. Like there are cultures who are women who are always in charge, you know, Vikings, you know, back in the days, you know, Egypt, you know, all of these cultures, women used to be very respected.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't until organized religion came in that, you know, they had to crush us,
yeah,
and crush our spirits and keep us down. And we need to find that power again. And it can only be found as a collective. And it has to be something that the men who love us understand, that not necessarily expressing the bad behavior of bad men, but not doing anything, you're not helping.
Right.
If you love a woman, I don't care if it's your daughter, your sister, your mother, any woman, then you need to speak up, because men have so much power with each other, because especially in the patriarchy, men don't listen to the females. It's men talk to men. They respect each other. They listen to each other. But if they're not holding each other accountable, then this is why that we're living in the world that we're living in, because they're not speaking up. If you see something, if you see somebody acting a fucking fool, then you need to step in. I don't care if you're afraid. There's just no space for that anymore. There's no space for being silent when you see something happening. There's no space for letting it go. There's no space for, oh, boys will be boys. You know, I'm a boy mom to 4. You're a boy mom to 2. We are doing our damnedest to try and make sure that our boys grow up into responsible men who respect women.
Yeah.
But men have to do their part in this too.
It's been a lot of conditioning.
Yep.
But I work with a lot of men, and I can tell you right now that I'm starting to see the shift.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see the shift where men are holding women, and not in these pedestals, right? Because nobody should be in a pedestal.
Correct.
But as equals, and just like, this is what I need from you. This is what I could give you. And they want to be those providers, and they want to be there in their masculine energy, but knowing that they need the feminine in order to thrive.
Yeah. Well, because they've been programmed,
right,
just as bad as we have. They've been programmed to not feel,
right,
to not love first, to react physically and then, you know, overthink, but never show emotion. And that's just as dangerous. And it's part of what's gotten us to where we are now.
Yeah.
And so we all have to do a lot of deprogramming of what we've been conditioned. You know, boys don't cry. That's bullshit. Boys cry. Boys have feelings. Let's identify those feelings. Let's talk about those feelings. And let's figure out ways to get out that energy, because, you know, emotions are energy that if we just stuff it all down, becomes sickness later on. You know, we have to be able to feel these feelings and transmute them into something positive. But it all starts with identifying them and even letting them, like my husband sometimes is like, I said something the other day. I told you his dad passed away, and it was like a Halloween time. And I said, well, you know, the veil's getting very thin. I said, we haven't heard from your dad lately. I wonder what he's been up to. And my husband's in the kitchen, and immediately he started crying. And he's like, my dad just popped in and said, I'm here. I'm right here. And he goes, and I'm like, and then I started crying, because now he's crying. That's not something he does. And he's like, how do you not lose your mind drowning in all of this? Like, even for that, just that little second, that was just too much emotion for him. And I think that is the deal for a lot of men. They look at us crying, and they look at us, you know, just worrying, and they don't want that. That looks like very uncomfortable for them and weak. But mostly it's uncomfortable because they don't know what to do with it. Like, I don't always know what to do with it either. I'm learning ways to deal with it. you know, breath work and all of these awesome modalities that are out there that have been, you know, locked away from people in organized religion. And there's so many people in there that are hurting and that are starving for, you know, just some relief. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy, but they're not allowed to even question or not even allowed to, you know, entertain the thought that they could do something themselves without, you know, hands being
free will, having free will. That's what it is. You're not allowed to have free will. Yeah. And like I mentioned earlier, this is not just about like Christianity. This could be any organized religion, but I'm not also like, I don't believe that going to church is bad and all of this, because I've gone to churches that I feel like this feels like a good space, being that I'm very intuitive. A friend of mine recently got baptized and I went to support her and it felt nice. It felt nice. And I'm not opposed to joining her and going to a service with her, but I know where I stand and I know that I have free will. I could go if I want to.
Right.
But if I don't go, that doesn't make me a demonic person or an evil person.
And you don't need to be saved. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's one of the things that once you leave organized religion, that everyone who's still in it that loves you or says they love you, that's their thing. I need to save you. They become obsessed with, they've got to save you now. But what they don't understand is there's, even if I said the words, okay, I will come back, you can't. There's no way of going back once you know now everything that we have learned since, you know, we've been on this journey. It's one of those things where you lose a lot of relationships during that period of time, because obviously I don't want to hurt my family's feelings. And because it's family, it's even harder to explain yourself to them because there's a lot of emotions involved. Yeah. It's easier to explain it to perfect strangers who have no skin in the game than it is to try and get your family to understand what you're going through. They just look at you like you're just going to hell. That's all they can think of. They can't even hear the words that you're saying to try and understand. You know, there's so much about the Bible that's been revised and redacted. And, you know, it was a year ago when it's embarrassing to say this now, but I didn't know who Lilith was, because in our Bible, she's not in there. And I didn't know who she was. Well, she's the first to be crushed under, you know, no, you don't get an opinion. You have to do what we say, or we're going to demonize you. So there's all these little things that I'm learning now that seem like I should have known those. Like when I was a kid, like I talked to people and I'm like, you don't know who this is. You don't know this. And I'm like, no idea. I had no idea.
Yeah. There's a lot of healing that comes when you learn these things about yourself too, because we have Lilith in our birth chart. And I've worked a lot with that energy of Lilith in the last year.
Yeah. But I channel. Sometimes we'll do a mushroom ceremony, and I've several times channeled Isis, and then once Lilith came, and I really was caught off guard by that. I expected it to be Isis again, and so I was like, all right, let's do this. And she got a lot of rage, but there was a lot that I learned from that experience about who she actually is, as opposed to what religions have said she is. You know, she's not a demon. She's not a demon. She is a woman who, again, was demonized because she wouldn't submit to someone else's rule. So I've learned a whole bunch of stuff about her. And that was a really crazy experience. In fact, it was loud and guttural and all these crazy movements. And at one point, Dean came in and he was like, and I was like, it's okay. It's just Lilith. She's here offering protection. Like, she is the protector of women and children. Like, that's what she was showing me, all of this stuff, especially in my own family. It was really an amazing experience. But I was so freaked out by it. Like, I scheduled, we have a friend who's a psychic. And so, and she also does mediumship and channeling and stuff. So I set an appointment with her, and I was like, I need to ask you something. She's like, you met Lilith. And I'm like, okay.
You already knew.
Because you're like, was that real? Or am I just crazy? You know, is that just a drug side effect or whatever? And so she said, no, that was real, and it won't be your last. It's just so empowering, like all of these different ways to learn about yourself and to heal. I am just so grateful. Like, I'm not grateful that my dad died, and that's when this all started, but I'm just so grateful that somehow I made it through that to get here.
Right. And I'm proud of you. You've done amazing. You are going to help so many people because of this. You're going to write a book too. That just came to me as a download.
I'm trying.
So you've been already working on it. Okay. Yeah. Cause I see a book. I see you speaking in front of a lot of people, and you know, it's just, this is not a podcast episode to bash anybody or anybody's belief, but just so you could be aware that it's more like the cult-like behavior of, okay, the love bombing, the disregarding your feelings, your intuition, trying to condition you into believing that only their way is the best way, and or they're the chosen ones, that they're the only ones that you could go to. You can't make a decision. You can't do anything unless you seek their help, making you codependent on them. If anything feels that way, question it. Question it. Because whatever you decide to practice needs to feel right within you. It shouldn't make you feel bad. At 9 years old, you're feeling like something's not right here. And I know the feeling that you feel, because I felt those things too as a child. Like, I had not learned what sex was, but I still knew that this person should not be touching me in the way that they are. It just felt wrong, right? Yeah. But then you're just disregarded. So this is what really this episode is about, of don't ignore your intuition. You know the answer.
Any religion or any cult or any even relationship that the premise of it is some kind of narcissistic view.
Yes.
You know, even like, so the God that I grew up with, we were told that the only reason we existed was to praise him. If that doesn't scream narcissism, I don't know what does. But for me, I don't feel like I have to worship anything. I have spirit guides. I have entities that I go to and respect their opinion of, but they don't require me to worship them.
You work with them. You are guided by them. You are protected by them. You don't have to worship anything. You don't worship anything. You don't worship the moon. You don't worship, like, you know, anything. So it's just working with that spirit guide, working with whatever you believe in, right? But if you have to completely be damned because you do things that are not hurting anybody or anything,
right.
It's just red flags. A whole red fucking flags, carnival.
Yeah.
A whole fucking carnival.
Yeah. Yeah, if it makes you feel guilty every time you, you know, step out of line as far as their rules, that's a huge red flag. Mm-hmm. You know, any narcissistic behavior is going to make you feel terrible. So that goes for, you know, businesses, religions, domestic relationships. That's not how it's supposed to be. That's not the design of All of this is supposed to be much easier than we've made it.
100%. And that's where the magic is, truly. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. It was so great having you on here. I'm not sure if you're active on Instagram or on social media for people to find you, but if you are, feel free to share your handle.
On Instagram, it's The Vintage Dinosaur. And on Facebook, it's my name. It's Michelle R. Richardson.
Thank you so much for coming on today. Again, I think your story is very powerful, and I can't wait till you write that book.
Thank you.
Yeah, your book signing for sure.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Feel free to share this episode with anybody that you feel might need it. And remember, it's not all of life.